It will inform real estate transactions and help businesses make more informed decisions that take energy costs into account when buying or leasing property. It will enhance real estate value. Recent studies have found that higher performing buildings also have lower vacancy rates and increased rental and resale prices. And finally, it will support local job creation. By increasing demand for energy efficiency services, the policy will support the growth of the clean energy sector in Portland. In addition to our strong support for this policy, we also offer the following recommendations to maximize its benefits. First, we think it's crucial that the city maintain the requirement to publicly disclose the energy use data. And we think public disclosure is the cornerstone of the policy, and it is key to driving the market toward energy efficiency. And secondly, we also recommend that the policy be expanded in a future phase to include other building types. And in summary, we urge the city to join the two states and 11 cities that have already adopted these policies and are realizing the benefits. And we thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, and thank you for this opportunity to voice my full support and enthusiasm for the Commercial Building Energy Performance Reporting Policy. My name is Anna Huddle, and my background is in architecture. Prior to moving to Portland last June to join the nonprofit Salmon Safe, I lived in Chicago, where I served as group leader for a sustainability planning studio and was entrenched in the green building community there. As part of that community, I assisted the City of Chicago in rolling out its energy benchmarking ordinance. From the fall of 2013 through spring of 2014, I served as part of Chicago's volunteer energy benchmarking working group, a group of roughly 10 industry professionals that led trainings on the ordinance for building owners. When I learned of Portland's interest in implementing a similar ordinance, I was very excited and wanted to lend my support and experience from Chicago, which is what brings me here today. I attended an information session in mid-January and have reviewed the draft ordinance currently being considered by the council. I think the policy is a tremendous tool through which the city can help protect our environment as Portland's landscape becomes increasingly dense, as well as achieve the goals set forth in the draft 2015 Climate Action Plan. I'd like to share three key concerns that I heard raised during the January session, since they were identical to those that I had heard previously in Chicago and have also been raised partially today. First, there's fear about how the data will be used and shared publicly. Second, there's anxiety over the reporting process and potentially added workload. And third, there's doubt about the potential effectiveness of the policy. In my opinion and past experience, all of these concerns are easily resolved and largely already addressed by the draft policy. The public disclosure piece has been well addressed in the draft and is consistent with New York City's approach to their ordinance. Through conversation that I've had with industry leaders from New York City, I learned that their local property owners have become completely accustomed to the public disclosure of building-by-building energy data. And one tactic that the city of Chicago used was to put building owners at ease was to only disclose the first year's worth of data on a citywide summary basis, which Portland's policy also does. With regards to anxiety about the reporting process, I'd note that the city has wonderful resources at its fingertips to aid building owners. Through established networks that have been referenced by others, the city can establish a volunteer working group like the one that I was part of in Chicago to lead trainings for building owners and managers and facilitate the first year of reporting. In Chicago, as was previously noted, utility providers were also immensely helpful to their customers in creating tools to allow easy collection of aggregated data. And lastly, with regards to the potential effectiveness of the policy, I was going to reference the same 2012 EPA study about the annual savings of energy, but I won't duplicate that statement. But the study clearly demonstrates that by consistently tracking energy use of a building alone, even without capital expenditures on any energy savings projects, an average building can receive some savings. So in summary, the city of Portland has much to gain by joining its sister city, Seattle, and others like Chicago to become the next city in the U.S. to adopt an energy reporting policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you being a resource for this conversation here now.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Next three are Casey Radcliffe, John Morris, and Ralph Dinda. Webley Bowles.
Welcome. Good afternoon. I'd like to be first. Go ahead.
Hello, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Casey Radcliffe, and I am an energy analyst for the Oregon Department of Energy. The Oregon Department of Energy helps implement the state's energy goals and policies, administers programs such as energy incentives and loans, and ensures reliable energy for Oregon's future. I'm here today to share some information about our existing programs that focus on energy use reporting as a mechanism for improving building performance. One of our programs at the Oregon Department of Energy is the Energy Efficiency Schools Program, which works with K through 12 public schools throughout the state to track energy use and energy use intensity, opportunities for improvements, and provide technical assistance. A core component of the program requires our participants, comprised of 112 school districts, to collect and report energy use data. We found that many schools did not have a centralized place to collect and analyze this information, so we have used the reporting database to serve as a historical archive and analytical tool. While setting up reporting can initially take some time, our staff work with participants to establish an effective and repeatable process that is simple to maintain. By measuring performance, we are also able to provide targeted technical and financial assistance that allows us to work more effectively with our local partners to provide incentives, rebates, and loans. Oregon's state agencies also participate in energy use reporting through the State Building Innovation Lab, which requires annual energy use reporting and incorporation of energy efficiency measures into new state agency buildings. These agencies have reported energy use to our agency since 2001 and have successfully met the goal set by the Oregon legislature to reduce overall energy use by 20% by 2015. This aligns with national findings that buildings that complete benchmarking are shown to reduce energy consumption by an average of 7% over a three-year time span. We have also transitioned our state agency reporting into EPA's Energy Star Portfolio Manager. We find this is more user-friendly, provides better analytical tools, and allows users to more quickly report simple energy information. We will continue to work with our state agencies, including those located in Portland, such as the Portland State Office Building and Commission for the Blind. Reporting through Portfolio Manager allows us to be consistent with similar regional and national programs and ensures compliance with Oregon's existing statewide scoring program developed in 2011. For more than a decade, our program participants have completed energy reporting and used benchmarking as tools to understand their building performance. These core elements have been successfully implemented in our programs and aligns with the city's proposed policy. Reporting is a critical first step to understanding our built environment. We support the city's proposed efforts to provide better information to building tenants so they can make more informed decisions towards greater efficiency and savings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Webley Bowles. I am an architect in Oregon, and I'm a member of the American Institute of Architects Portland Chapter on Committee on the Environment. It's also known as AIA Portland COAT. That's our initials, so I might say that again. And I'm also an energy efficiency advocate in Portland, and I work for Empower Oregon, and we work on energy efficiency and water efficiency measures for affordable housing in Oregon. So I'm very interested in this and want to show my support for it. As you guys know, Energy Star Portfolio Manager is an industry standard, and it is recognized by LEED for existing buildings by recognizing the Energy Star score and the Architecture 2030 Challenge by using energy use intensity to determine the progress towards a net zero energy goals, which has also been adopted by AIA. So AIA Portland COAT supports the proposed ordinance. The building energy performance reporting policy aligns directly with one of AIA Oregon's position statements, which is ensuring that the effort and investment in high-performance buildings demonstrates improved environmental quality and reduced energy consumption. AIA Oregon supports the principle of publicly disclosing energy consumption for commercial and institutional properties in Oregon, whether publicly or privately held. So transparency in building energy use enables architects to understand how building design compares to the actual use, which is essential for us, getting that feedback. It allows us to continue to design high-performance building and empowers building owners, which is essential for them to operate better facilities. And in the end, it all reduces energy use and saves costs, as you are aware of by a lot of the testimony here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, and thank you, Commissioners, for allowing me to speak today. My name is Ralph DeNola. I'm CEO of New Buildings Institute. NBI is a nonprofit think tank that works nationally, and we're dedicated to advancing commercial building energy efficiency. And we're happy to announce that we're going to be moving our offices to Portland in June. I want to just make a couple of points. We applaud the city for adopting this policy. Many of the municipalities and states across the U.S. have adopted a similar policy, as we've heard. And as a leader in sustainability and green building, the city needs to be included in this growing cohort across the country. A benchmarking policy is a key strategy in lowering carbon emissions and the impact of Portland's buildings. Understanding that performance of the building stock is an essential first step, but it's necessary to provide that data and analysis to create a foundation for achieving the building sector goals that you've set out in the City and County Climate Action Plan. Benchmarking is immediately adoptable, as we understand from the other cities that are doing it, and the component of a long-term building policy program that is part of the Climate Action Plan. Progress in moving towards low-energy buildings and zero-net-energy buildings in the commercial building sector in Portland is called for in local, state, and regional policies, including the Pacific Coast Collaborative. And this effort will definitely boost your action through the ordinance. So I thank you and appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate having you engaged in this here. Thank you. Thanks very much. Some more?
Lauren Loosevelt, Paul Schlesinger, Jenna Gesseldom. Shanna Brownstein. That was Shanna. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'll get started. Okay. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, thank you for having me this evening. I'm happy to represent a number of organizations, and I'll run through a quick list. First of all, I'm a registered architect. I worked for a local firm, Hedeberry Eddy Architects, in town. Lauren Loosevelt. Thank you. We serve a variety of clients from government to private projects, higher ed, et cetera. I'm also the chair of American Institute of Architects Portland Chapter COATE, Committee on the Environment, as my colleague Webley had brought up earlier. I'm a board member of AIA Oregon, and as a board member, I sit on the Legislative Affairs Committee representing Oregon's registered architects. Legislative Affairs Committee is responsible for reacting to health, safety, and welfare legislative issues that come before the state of Oregon and supporting claims that affect our communities. Webley had mentioned with position statements, and I'd just like to add to that. Last year, the AIA Oregon took it upon themselves to survey the 1,400 registered architects in Oregon. And 58% of those who responded were in strong support of that position statement to disclose energy performance for public and private buildings. 25% were also in support with some minor language changes, which we're now listening to and informing BPS with that information. You've heard a number of different facts stated, so I won't repeat those, but I will say that as an architect, we represent our clients, and so we must be critical of these kind of ideas and policies that are positioned in front of us. And so just even as of yesterday, I've been talking with BPS and Vin Mason about this measure, and I'd like to just share a few facts that we've found also state my strong support as a response of how they've reported back to us. First of all, Energy Star Portfolio Manager is a very current, very fair and effective model and tool for benchmarking. Benchmarking is critically important, as though it lets us know where we stand today and how we move forward tomorrow. Without benchmarking, we can't make progress, and we won't know what progress looks like. The second question in our mind was balance and fairness. Is ENERGY STAR Portfolio Manager a fair and effective way? We are reassured, and we understand, we've heard today, that there are a number of different categories in which the ENERGY STAR Portfolio Manager normalizes buildings over a variety of buildings, whether they be dense office spaces or even very energy-intensive otherwise on the spectrum. We're assured that the program is rigorous and fair. We've asked about the amount of time required, and we've been told that in the first year it would be 4 to 40 hours required for a building owner, and after that, subsequently, 2 to 20. So we're very happy with this information. We look forward to understanding more how training and education will move forward with this program, and we look for the oversight of both architects and professional engineers to help implement. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate the AIA being a resource for this as well.
I know it's late, but can I just ask one question? On the work you're doing, one of the many hats you're wearing that involves environment and affordable housing, did I hear that?
No, not necessarily.
It's the environment?
Environment, right.
Okay.
Welcome.
Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Jana Gastelum. I'm with the Oregon Environmental Council, and we appreciate you taking on this policy and applaud these efforts. In particular, we appreciate that there's follow-up on the recommendations from the first Climate Action Plan, and we're glad to see carry-through and follow-through. We think this is a really excellent type of policy. It's been implemented well in other jurisdictions. We'd actually even love to see it on a statewide basis, and though Portland might not be one of the first 10 cities to adopt, we can certainly show statewide leadership in Portland by adopting this policy. There are three main reasons why we think we should move forward with this. One for the environment, two for health, and three for economic gain. I'll just touch on each quickly since I think a lot of people have made great points. But first, energy efficiency and energy disclosure are effective ways to really reduce energy use, and that's an important tool for addressing climate change. We know that climate change will impact the health of Portlanders and Oregon citizens, so anything we do to address climate change also has health benefits, especially those who are most disproportionately impacted by climate change. So we applaud you on those two fronts of tackling both climate change and health together. We're also really impressed by the many comments that said, you know, if we just measure and if we're aware of data, we can make a lot of improvements. And since energy is also tied up in water use and waste management and other things, we think that there could be great spillover effect in really monitoring energy use and getting gains on other city goals around water and waste reduction in other areas. I also want to just point out that the transparency, I think, is a key part of this policy, and I appreciated, Mayor, your point about the Prius giving you a display and that giving you instant feedback. I was thinking about other places where we do public disclosure in the city. I live in Northeast Portland, and I come down Sandy Boulevard. There's a big hill right before a major pedestrian area, and there's a public reader board that lets you know what your speed limit is. Although there's a posted speed limit, but then it measures and tracks individual car speeds. And it's incredibly effective to have public disclosure of what actual car speeds are. It improves safety and it improves the effectiveness. So we think there's been a nice balance struck to have maybe a delay in that 1 year of public disclosure, but we think that that's a really key part of making this an effective policy. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I love your idea about similar models of tracking other kinds of energy use like water and sewer. The one irony, of course, is that while we believe in conservation around water, the more successful we are, the more likely we are to drive up everyone's costs in a fixed cost system. So there's an inherent dilemma that we face because we have such an abundance of water. You know, we put about 300 million gallons a day into the streams we can't use, that as people conserve, it actually has the perverse effect of raising people's rates. So
saving it for the people who are moving here in large numbers.
We're schizophrenic on this question, but we like the idea of better monitoring.
All the more reason to then save more on energy.
There you go.
I really appreciate your observation about the speed reader boards, because I had the same reaction. And when I mentioned it to a transportation engineer, they said, oh, the studies show that that doesn't work. I wonder if there's a gender difference in whether.
I'm here to tell you there's not in every case. It works on me, too.
All I know is that you have to hit the brakes because there's a lot of brake lights in front of you when you hit that sign.
Yeah, it works.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Shauna Brownstein. I'm here representing Northwest Natural. I want to thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioner, for having us today. I also really appreciate that you had Mayor Nutter. I'm from Philadelphia, so I always like hearing the Mayor of Philly talk. Anyway, I'm here to represent the utility piece of this. We've been talking a lot about energy reporting and the needs of the building owners. There are going to be requirements on the utility, though, and so I just want to make sure that we're available to you to answer any questions. We support this policy. We think the city is moving in the right direction. We have worked with BPS along the way. We still have a couple of concerns that I do want to voice. They've been brought up a little bit, but we want to flesh them out. I also want to thank my colleague from PacifiCorp, Carrie, for really discussing how PacifiCorp is unique, and they are further along this continuum than Northwest Natural. And I'm not sure if PG is going to speak, but speaking for Northwest Natural, the way commercial buildings are metered right now, it makes aggregating data by building very difficult. I was really surprised to learn this. In government affairs, I always say that I'm a mile wide and an inch deep on any particular topic. I really dug into this one. I was like, so what is the problem? And it's because there are subtenants and there are master meters, and it gets really complicated. For our system, from a technology standpoint, there's a lot of coding that has to be, you know, done to generate the report, and then interfacing with the building owners to manually input all of their information by building. It's not currently put together in our system that way. So there's a lot of work on the front end to do that. And then there's the ongoing maintenance to make sure that we're working with the building owners. We're going to get a lot of questions on this, as has been stated. Finally, there are some legal issues. Data privacy came up. We are regulated by the PUC, state, and federal law regarding our data. So there was some work with BPS that the building owners would get tenant permissions. Right now we're working through, like, well, do we just need an affidavit from the building owner that says they got the permissions, or do we actually need to have the permissions? And if we have the permissions, do we have to validate that we got the permissions from that particular meter? If it's the latter, it's going to be an enormous administrative burden. So we're really working through this right now. We want to make this work. It is a challenge. There will be an expense. It will take time. And for a utility as lean as Northwest Natural, it's going to be difficult. So I'm happy to answer any questions from a utility
helpful.
Perspective.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Obviously, having a little more time is helpful. So, yeah, good. Thank you. Appreciate your willingness to keep working on those issues with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
The last three I show are Ben Gates, Chris Lowen, and Kelly Ross.
Come on up. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to voice support for the policy today. My name is Ben Gates. I'm a real estate developer working both with private and nonprofit owners. And I wanted to share just a couple examples of projects that kind of illustrate the benefits of energy reporting, how easy it can be, and also the benefits of public disclosure. So the first project that I want to illustrate is a project that I worked on a couple years ago, the Northrop Center on Northrop and 23rd Avenue. And it's a medical dental building. It would fall under this requirement to report on energy. We made the decision upon acquiring the building to not do the reporting in-house, but rather have our service provider report for us. So I know McKinstry was up here. I believe they offered the service. In this case, we used Alliance. They took on the reporting as part of their mechanical service contract, which made it very easy for the building owner to kind of roll into services that were already reported. Had we not reported, we would have been going off of acquiring the building on day one and kind of benchmarking all future use against our operating budget in year one. When we went through the trouble of reporting, we found that when we took the utility bills prior to our acquisition, we actually found that our utility costs were twice as high as when the previous owner had the building. And what we found with kind of alliance sleuthing and some work subsequent to go through the building and figure out what the problem was, it was a simple mechanical control issue, which had the mechanical device kind of running 24/7 and not going back into setback mode. So by making that simple switch, once we found out the issue, we saved 50% in energy costs, which was substantial. So there's not just the 3-7% average savings, but there's some really big substantial wins there when we know the energy usage of the building. The second project that I wanted to share was the Loyalty and Hamilton building. So this is one we completed a couple years ago, and it's on 3rd and Alder, two historic buildings renovated. We used Portfolio Manager to track energy use across both buildings. We did the standard things many people have mentioned here, replacing mechanical equipment, putting in occupancy sensors, and today it's Portland's top Energy Star score among historic buildings. And what that allows us to do is really kind of tell the story and showcase what the building is about. So it's not just about kind of finding those energy wins, it's also about telling the story. And I think, you know, those illustrate the importance of access to information, using the simple tool, and some of the benefits that can be accrued as a result of that.
Great. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, thanks for the time to testify today. My name is Chris Law, and I'm a registered professional engineer at Glumac, a local sustainable engineering firm. And I just wanted to say that building benchmarking as an energy analyst with Glumac is the first thing we do with any existing building project. So it's a very powerful tool with respect to looking into energy efficiency. Secondly, I just wanted to talk a little bit about our personal experiences with building benchmarking. About 3 years ago, we went and looked at 10 buildings that we'd designed. The industry has put a lot of pressure on sustainable buildings actually hitting their performance goals. Those 10 buildings we went back and took a look at, we learned a lot from. We thought we knew how much energy they would use. Sometimes we were close, sometimes we were not. What it allowed us to do was learn as to why buildings might not be hitting these targets, and it effectively put a feedback loop in the system. So every design that we do from this date forward, we have that feedback loop and we're constantly learning. I think the city has the opportunity to do the same thing through this benchmarking mechanism. Hmm. Secondly, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the savings beyond energy. And I think if we can make this work from the energy picture, there's a whole bigger picture out there that goes beyond just energy. Typical building costs maybe $2 a square foot to operate. We've heard a lot of metrics. Here's some new ones. The staff within that building are probably within the vicinity of $30 a square foot from their value. Buildings that perform energy measures and improve indoor air quality, thermal comfort, these sort of things, those people become more productive. So if you improve their productivity by 5 to 10%, not only have we saved energy through possibly something like this, but we're seeing huge, huge economic benefits from other factors also. That's about all I've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good point.
Mayor, since Kelly was here for SDCs and he's now for green buildings, I think we should extend him the courtesy of speaking on any subject he wants so that we spare him another trip within the next week.
Yeah. No, let's just wrap it up. This is fine. Mayor, Commissioners, Kelly Ross again representing NAOP Oregon and the Commercial Association of Brokers. I just briefly wanted to reiterate several of the points that Susan Stewart made and also to express appreciation to her for her taking the lead on behalf of the industry on this. I also want to reiterate the need to be adequately staffed up on this. We reached out to NAOP members in Seattle, and the clear message we got from them was that the biggest problem in the first year of their program was understaffing by the city and the bottleneck that that created. So I would urge you to look at that very carefully. The second thing in our discussions internally, the highest priority for our members is ease of use on this, because we genuinely do want to see this succeed and a high compliance rate achieved. And the best way to do that is to get strong cooperation from the utilities, because they are really in the best position to get overall building utility data. That there are, in many cases, separately metered tenants. There's no obligation by tenants to provide the landlord with utility information. There's no obligation to provide the landlord with number of employees or number of computers or any other specialized electronic equipment. So it's really crucial to get the buy-in from the utilities. And I'm not sure about the authority of the city to place mandates on utilities, but if you need any help in terms of working with the PUC or the legislature, we would like to collaborate with you on that.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Anybody else that's signed up or wants to speak? I see Mr. Funk from PGE here, so I was hoping we'd hear from you as well. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Adding cleanup for the utilities.
Yeah, went back cleanup. Good evening. Dean Funk, Manager of Government Affairs for PG. I know probably there's a few people in here who haven't finished their taxes and probably need to get home. I just wanted to say, in the impact statement that came with the agenda item, the PG was listed on there as cautiously supportive. And I think I'd bifurcate that a little bit and say we're enthusiastically supportive of the idea, but we are a little cautious about some of the things that you heard. You heard hints of from Carrie Greer there that, in fact, data is very complicated. It's much more complicated than you might think. I might look at Commissioner Fish, and I know that there are many residents who have said, why can't you have a monthly water sewer bill? And I think probably, without being sure, that's analogous because data is complicated. You heard from Susan that there's a lot of time on their side in gathering that data, and I think we heard a little bit of depth about it's a lot more difficult than you might think to actually get the information and upload it. One of the things to the credit of BPS is that they realized that the time, they actually expanded the time in the policy to be able to, from 15 to 45 days, as I recall, to upload the data or to get the data to be uploaded. And part of it is on the utility side, and again, I'm not a data analyst either, but having talked to some of our people, and again, to PacifiCorp is considerably further ahead than we are, that one of the data analysts said that, yeah, it's a manual process, and, you know, each one of those will be done by a person, and it will take not a lot of time, like days on each one, but it will take 20 to 25 minutes on each one, as I understand it from him. So add that up, you've got quite a situation. For us, I would also note that just quickly that it isn't actually cheap, and in the impact statement from City of Portland, the statement goes there'll be very minimal cost for Portland, but I think you've heard that there is actually more cost behind that than you might think. Staffing, I know that Puget Sound Energy, they found that their costs were considerably higher than maybe were first understood. So there is cost. I think it's a very smart thing for people to do. We're very supportive of it. As it happens, our customer information system is in the throes of being changed out. One of the reasons that we actually wanted it to be extended a little bit further, because we're going to have a system that's going to be able to do that in the future, and it's not as equipped to do that now. But we'll do it. We have to do it. It just won't be as efficient and as effective if we could wait a little bit longer. And I think there's some concern, like with any data, that it gets a little squirrely, and you want to make sure it's accurate. And who knows, it would be better if it was a little more accurate on the if we had a little more time. But generally, it's something that we want to do. I think it's a great idea. All of the dashboard stuff, I drive up Barber Boulevard, that sign on there makes me just back way off the gas because I want to see if I can hit 35 exactly when I'm on that thing. little contest. So, yes, we're very supportive, but I'm glad to hear, and I really appreciate what Carrie Greer from PacifiCorp had to say, that there's more to it than you might think. But let's do it.
Well, the recent video that Steve shared with me had you doing closer to 40, but we think there's always hope. So
I don't know. It might need
big data.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak? And any council questions for staff at this point? I want to comment. I'm very proud of the staff at BPS, and I think we've heard a lot of reasons why, the amazing collaborative process that you've carried out so far. And I just want to iterate a commitment I know they have, which is to continue this collaborative approach with not only the building owners, but also with the utilities to get these issues figured out. But I'm really proud of this bureau, and I'm also really proud of the private sector and the nonprofit sector and the design sector and how people have come together about this, that we've gotten to this really high level of accord that we should do this, that we should do it right, that we should make sure that we have the staff resources, both at the utilities and here, to make sure that this works well for the customers and for all the folks that are going to work so hard to make this a success. So I picked up on those notes. I know others did here on the council. So we've obviously got some more follow-up to do as a city to make sure that this is a success in implementation like it has been in policy development. But certainly from a policy development standpoint, this is really a great success, and I just want to thank you all for your work. We'll be scheduling this for council action later, but I wanted to have a chance to say that while some of you were here, and I know other council members that may have comments as well.
Mayor, I don't have my binder, but when do we go? Is this?
It will come back for second reading next week, unless there's any reason to take longer. And I think, given the level of agreement we have and the common understanding about the follow-up issues we have, I don't see any reason to take any longer than that. Other comments?
I'm also very proud of the Bureau, very proud of the city, very proud of everybody who spoke in support today. And I think just for our limited Channel 30 audience, I just want to sort of go back to first principles and note that reducing energy use in addition to saving money is important because although we get a chunk of our electricity here from hydropower, which does not involve much in way of carbon emissions, we also get a chunk from coal and natural gas, which are fossil fuels, and if we reduce energy use, then we can reduce the amount of carbon emissions that we're emitting and increase the percentage of our fuel, of our energy that comes from hydropower. And that's important because the use of fossil fuels is destroying the world. I mean, and is gradually going to render large parts of the planet uninhabitable, reduce the amount of food that we can produce, increase the number of severe weather events that will, among other things, drain government budgets. So this is not a controversial item, thankfully, but it's as important as anything that we do. And I just want to say again that I mean, the fact that there's not 1,000 people here and there's not a lot of media coverage does not mean that this isn't as important as anything we do. And thank you very much to the Bureau and all the partners for making it happen.
Any other comments? If not, then thank you all very much. We will schedule this for second reading next week, and we're adjourned. You did a great job.